crypto search lights up on the tower. Right now. Move! Move!
I listen to 2ARM 92.1 FM in the car and at work for great tunes and community news.
Good morning, I'm Herb and welcome to Community Spotlight. Every week I try and bring somebody from the community in to talk about themselves, their journey, their event, or their community organisation. And this morning I have the Greater Glider. Well, in fact, I've got Kevin Rothschilds. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
Now, Kevin, you're with David Carr at the Stringy Bark Consultants. Yeah. And how long have you been there?
So I've been working there for 2 years now.
And you're an ecologist?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Now, you tell me you actually come from Armidale.
So I grew up here. I went to school at Armidale High School, and then I moved away to go to university before coming back again.
And you went to uni at...
I went to the University of Sydney.
University of Sydney to do a Bachelor of Ecology.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, yeah.
Okay, so let's get into it. Greater Glider. Who is the Greater Glider?
So the Greater Glider is the largest species of glider we have in Australia. It's unique amongst the gliders in that it only eats eucalypt leaves and eucalypt buds. So kind of like the iconic koala, they're very slow and lazy because they eat nothing but leaves. They spend a lot of time just hanging out in the tree canopies at night. They usually come out right as it's getting dark, and they'll stay out till they get their fill of leaves, and then they'll head back into their hollows.
How big are they?
So they are between sort of 1 and 2 kilos, but they look quite a bit bigger. They look about the size of a domestic cat, and it's because they've got a really thick coat of fur that keeps them warm.
And coloration?
So there's sort of two different color morphs. The most common one is black with a white belly, but you can get pure white greater gliders as well.
So how many leaves do they eat?
Quite a significant amount, because, you know, leaves don't have a whole lot of nutrition, so they do need to eat a lot to get the energy requirements that they need.
And sleeping during the day in their hollow, so their requirement would be not only that taller forest canopy, they would need stags and hollow logs and...
That's right. So they need really big hollow trees, and often they like hollows where a branch has snapped off and formed a hollow in the end of the branch. So the hollow sort of faces sideways and it stops wind and rain and things getting inside the hollow. But yeah, they live in the really tall forests on sort of from southeast Queensland down through to Victoria on the eastern coast. They do have a preference for areas with lots of big, large trees.
So you just mentioned the distribution. So look at New South Wales first, and then we'll focus back the local populations. So whereabouts in New South Wales can we find them?
Yeah, pretty much coastal New South Wales and up on the tableland areas, but usually on the edge of the escarpment, sort of where you get those tall wet sclerophyll forests. And then there are some sort of outlying populations further west. So Mount Capitar is one of those places where it's at that higher elevation and it's got those tall forests that they need. So
let's just go back to their nest. How many young do they have a year?
Usually just one, and they'll usually hang around with the mother for about 12 months after they're born before they're sort of kicked out and have to find their own territory.
Are they a species that moves in colonies or family groups, or are they fairly solitary?
They're solitary, which again is a way that they're sort of quite different to the other species of glider that we have in Australia, which often live in small family groups. So.
What would their home range be?
They've got a really small home range, and it sort of varies from about 1 to 3 hectares, and it depends on where they're living and how sort of productive the forests are, how much nutrient they can get from the area immediately around sort of their hollow that they use. If it's a really fertile environment, they can live in an area as small as 1 hectare. And within that area, they can use up to 18 hollows in their home range. So they do need lots of big trees.
So they move their gliders, so they basically don't come to the ground and move along the ground. They glide from tree to tree.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, and they're pretty remarkable in that they can glide up to 100 metres. Yeah, they really can't leave the forested areas. So, you know, things like big highways on the coast can make sort of problems for them unless people put up gliding poles that they can use to sort of cross these bigger cleared areas. But yeah, they have to stick to the trees. Yeah.
You did mention there about threats. Are they a threatened species, endangered or vulnerable? Or
yeah, so they're an endangered species, and the main threats to them are things like bushfires and also human activities like logging.
So I had John Lemon in talking about the koala in a similar sort of chat we had, and he said that a lot of the koalas were decimated by the drought and the fires over on the Eastern Fall. Would that be true to the glider as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So huge areas of the glider habitat was burnt in the 2019-2020 fires. And one of the main problems with those really intense fires is they're able to kill some really big old trees and that, you know, have these hollows that the gliders rely upon. So it was actually after those fires that they got listed as endangered in New South Wales. So that happened in 2022.
So what's the process of listing a species as endangered in New South Wales?
There's a lot of research that goes into sort of the determination. There's a few different reasons why things can be listed. It's if they've got a severe population decline over quite a small time scale. It can also be if they've got a really isolated distribution, so they only live in a really small area. Yeah, so in the case of the greater glider, it's because of this. It's been quite a dramatic population decline over the last few decades.
Let's just move then to local populations. Tell me where we can find the greater glider in its last bastions, I suppose. Whereabouts?
Yeah, so around Armidale, we're very lucky that we have a few really strong glider populations. One of those is Mount Javau. There's lots of gliders living up there, and also Styx River State Forest, 50 minutes east of Armidale.
We've got the Mount Javau Nature Reserve, and we've got the University Parcel, which we think is probably about 500 hectares in total. So that's protected. All that land is protected habitat for the greater glider. So they should be, there's a good population out there. Is there any threats out there that we need to worry about?
Yeah, so they are quite safe on Mount Javau there because, like you say, all the land there is protected. I guess the main thing that could be a threat is if there was a fire on Mount Javau. There hasn't been a fire up there for a long time. Yeah, for the most part, they're very safe up there.
And does that compare maybe with Styx State Forest because it is a forestry operation? How does the forestry operation impact on the greater glider?
As I said, greater gliders, they only eat eucalypt leaves and they need lots of big hollow trees. So logging is a pretty key threat to them. They also live in these big, tall, productive forests, which are the same forests that, you know, forestry targets because they're the most productive for growing timber. It does impact the gliders because there's such a big population there that the removal of any glider habitat is sort of bound to, you know, kill gliders and harm the habitat that's there. So
what sort of percentage of the New South Wales population would be in our local area?
I don't know what percentage of the population is there, but there's nearly 7,000 records of greater gliders in New South Wales, and about 1,300 of those come from Styx River State Forest. So, you know, that's about, it's nearly 20% of all the glider records on BioNet that are in Styx River State Forest.
So you just mentioned BioNet. Tell me briefly about BioNet.
Yeah, so BioNet is the New South Wales biodiversity database, I guess. So it's whenever people record any animals, they don't have to be threatened species and plants, like through ecological surveys, those records can get uploaded to BioNet so that people, you know, gain a better understanding of where these things live.
So do you have to be an accredited ecologist like yourself to list it on BioNet, or can somebody out doing some bird watching and fairly confident about the birds they saw, for example, can they use BioNet?
So everyone can access BioNet to view the data, but not everyone can upload data straight to BioNet. There are other ways, though. You mentioned birds, so, you know, Bird Life Australia has, you can do bird surveys and upload your data to Bird Life, and then that data will eventually feed into BioNet. Yeah, there are other platforms where citizen scientists can upload their sightings. So things like iNaturalist is really great because you can upload a photo, you don't even need to know what it is necessarily, and people will help you identify it. and all that information can be made available and help researchers.
I'll just put a plug in there for Waterbird Tracker. So Waterbird Tracker, onewordonewordtracker.org.au, is a citizen science project where you can put photos and log your water birds. Let's go back to the Six State Forest. We've just had a recent announcement of the Great Koala Park. So how does that fit in with Six State Forest, the population of greater gliders, and the protection of that habitat for the greater glider?
Yeah, so the Great Koala National Park is really good news. That's a lot of state forests that are now logging won't be happening in those areas. And there are gliders in a lot of those areas that have been proposed to be protected in that area. Styx River wasn't included in that area. It's one of the sort of few forests between Armidale and the coast that haven't been included in that proposed boundary. So that's a bit disappointing, and it could potentially lead to, you know, increased intensity of forestry activities in Styx River State Forest.
So then the logical answer, if we're really seriously about protecting greater glider habitat, is to include the Styx State Forest in the Great Koala Park.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the best outcome, because the fact of the matter is you can't protect greater gliders while logging their habitat.
And unfortunately, the greater glider can't write to ministers or government departments and ask for it. It's up to us. So I suppose that's part and parcel of that political process and how we get these areas included for protection.
Yeah, that's right. And there's some really great community organisations out there, like the National Parks Association, that are doing just that.
Well, I did interview the National Parks. I think they had a 50-year anniversary last year, and they were talking about the greater glider and the work that they do. So it's fantastic if the National Parks Association, and I'm assume anybody could write or contact the National Parks Association and offer their support to protect the greater glider habitat in the Styx State Forest.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they have some good templates and things like that for letters that you can write to ministers and politicians to, you know, really show that we care about the gliders.
And I suppose if you thought about if there was another area that wasn't key glider habitat, that the Styx State Forest would come up trumps because it is greater glider habitat. We need to protect it. I wonder also how big the Styx State Forest is.
I can't give you an exact number. I'm not sure off the top of my head, but it is quite a large expanse of forest, and it's in a really important location in that it's wedged in between Oxley Wild Rivers National Park and the New England National Park. So it would, if it were to be properly protected, it would form a really good corridor joining these World Heritage listed national parks.
Well, it makes perfect sense to me, and we know we've got the great population up at Mount Javal, and that's certainly protected. The other question I had is wild cats, feral cats, any impact on greater gliders?
Not really, because they do spend so much time up high in the trees. You know, cats can climb trees, but not really these really massive forest trees that the greater gliders tend to live in. So they've escaped a lot of the impacts from feral cats that a lot of other threatened species have been subject to.
Just the tree species, what are we talking about in the eucalypts? Can you give us a couple of species?
So locally, it varies from region to region, but around here they particularly like Eucalyptus campanulata, which is New England blackbutt. It's a really tall forest tree that grows on the eastern fall, and it is really prone to developing these really big hollows. So I think that's one of the reasons why they particularly like these trees, is not so much the tree species itself, but just the fact that it has this tendency to get these huge hollows.
Now, you've been out there to the Styx State Forest yourself, and you've seen them out there?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's one of my favourite forests around Armidale. It's very unique for the Tablelands in that it is this really tall, wet sclerophyll forest, very different to the, you know, the dry woodlands and dry forests that, you know, really dominate the Tablelands. I've been out there multiple times, and there's lots of gliders out there. And if anyone wants to go out and see a glider, it's one of the places I'd encourage them to go. It's really easy to access the forest there. Gliders are really easy to find if you walk around with a spotlight.
So at night with the spotlight?
That's right, yeah.
Well, great. So let's hope that the National Parks Association and or other community people, anybody, can get behind an effort to actually include the Stick State Forest in the Great Koala Park. It makes perfect sense to me, particularly when you said it's wedged between two national parks already. It made perfect sense to just join it up and make sure that species, what do you say, 20% on the bionet record from the Stick State Forest?
That's right, yeah.
So that's quite substantial.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming in again, Kevin. I hope all your efforts prove fruitful for the greater glider, because the greater glider is a gem in our local community, our species, one of our iconic species, I suppose. You talk about koala, but it seems like the greater glider is probably up there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're a lot easier for people to go out there and see than koalas, which can often be very hard to find, so... Yeah.
All right. Well, that's Community Spotlight, and thanks again for coming in.
Great. Thank you, Herb.
Broadcast, then podcast. If you missed it or want to hear it again, then visit our webpage, 2arm.net.au/podcast. I listen to 2ARM, 92.1 FM, in the car and at work, for great tunes and community news.